Well, she said it right there at the top of the hour. Carissa Hessick, Associate Professor of Law at Arizona State University. Almost impossible to predict when cases go to the Supreme Court.
Legal cases are tricky.
But in this particular case, it seemed to me that Arizona lawmakers were deliberately provoking and confronting and challenging the federal government for not doing anything on immigration reform by passing HB 1070.
Well, the governor says they were actually trying to go right along with the federal government. She doesn't understand why the federal government got so riled up. This is, you know, like I said, legal cases are tricky. There are good sides to both sides of the story. And let's use that exact model. It's a case that's actually coming up in Georgia right now. There's a case there that involves a student and a university and whether or not she graduates. 24-year-old Jennifer Keaton was pursuing a master's degree in education at Georgia's Augusta State University. The school then became aware of her religiously based opposition.
Except she's not on the line with us.
She is not.
No. Actually, Carissa Hessick is on the line with us from Arizona State University, and Peter Shook, also professor of Yale Law School, because really what we're talking about here is this HB 1070 case on some level is a confrontation between states, which have one view of a situation, and the federal government, which has another view of the situation. And the question is the Supreme Court the only way to resolve this? Carissa Hessick, first of all, what did the Judge Bolton yesterday strike down in the law, and what still stands?
Sure. So just to be clear, she didn't actually strike anything down. She simply said that certain parts of the laws can't be enforced until the lawsuit is over. So she actually struck down the most controversial provisions. Now I said struck down. She actually froze or enjoined the most controversial provisions, the ones about people having to show their papers, the ones about police officers being required to ask about immigration status. She actually enjoined almost every single section that the federal government made specific arguments about. There were only a couple of sections about sanctuary cities, sanctions about day laborers, that actually are going into effect today.
All right. Peter Shook, professor of law at Yale Law School. This seems to me a deliberate sort of confrontation on the part of the federal government's authority on immigration law and Arizona's view that it wants to handle its own affairs if the federal government isn't going to do that. How does this not end up beyond even the appellate court in San Francisco if the state appeals?
Well, if the state appeals, the Supreme Court is going to, once it goes beyond the Ninth Circuit, it's going to have to be accepted by the Supreme Court. And as Carissa said earlier, it's not clear that the Supreme Court would accept this. It rejects a vast majority of the cases that are brought before it. But in this case, it may well do so. There's very little case law in this area of preemption in the immigration context. The one on which the judge primarily relied was a very old decision involving the McCarthy era, Hines versus Davidowitz, involving registration.
And just get into that a little bit. It means that the federal government has overall authority in what particular instance?
Well, it's perfectly clear that the federal government has principal and indeed almost complete authority in the area of immigration regulation. That's very well established. And the only question really is whether this statute is sufficiently similar, if not identical, to the federal regulation, the substance of the federal regulation, that there's no conflict, in which case the state law could be
right.
Sustained.
And Carissa, it seems to me that, a police officer in a city can arrest somebody who's violating a federal law. So the idea of states having their own law enforcement authorities enforce federal law doesn't create a conflict. That if I was arguing for the state of Arizona, I'd feel like I had a pretty strong case here.
Well, the problem wasn't just whether police officers have authority to make arrests for federal laws. The state of Arizona actually created its own state crimes about illegal immigration matters. And I think that's, if you look at the judge's ruling and the Department of Justice's brief in this case, that's what they were really concerned about, that Arizona was trying to create its own immigration crimes.
And Peter Shook, it seems that the judge was also concerned over the actual process. What happens when a police officer pulls someone over and then has to establish their immigration status? What's where that person is going? How are they detained? And she pointed out even that very often in the past, those cases have not ended up in any kind of formal arrest.
Well, that's very true. My own feeling about this case is that the judge would have been well advised to do what judges ordinarily do in these situations, which is to say, I'm going to wait until the statute goes into effect and we see how the state applies it. And that's particularly important in these sort of encounters where certain sorts of behaviors by the police could be unconstitutional in that they are inconsistent with the federal policy. But on the other hand, they might not be inconsistent. And so this was what we call a facial challenge. And the court could have said, we're going to wait until there's an actual case in which we have facts before us that will enable us to judge whether there is indeed a conflict.
And Peter Schuck there, professor at Yale Law School. Carissa Hesek, the principle that Peter is describing there is that we shouldn't necessarily conclude that the injunction is any way prejudicial on whether the courts would rule that this law, up or down, is valid, right?
Actually, one of the factors that Judge Bolton had to consider is whether she thinks the United States is likely to succeed overall in the case.
Uh-huh.
And that was sort of the bulk of her opinion. She said on many of these sections, she thinks that the United States government is likely to succeed overall.
So does that mean, Peter Schuck, that that the state of Arizona, by appealing this to the, I guess it's the Eighth or Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, is grandstanding?
No, I don't think it's grandstanding. It represents a position that lots of states are taking, in which it feels it has a genuine authority in this area. The federal government is not enforcing the laws adequately by the state's estimation, and that there's a vacuum there, an enforcement vacuum that the state wants to fill. So I think they have legitimate grievances. The question is whether this will pass constitutional muster.
Professor Peter Schuck at Yale Law School. Carissa Hesek, law professors love vacuums, right? It must be kind of exciting being in Arizona and associate professor of law at Arizona State University at this moment.
It's been very exciting, though a little difficult. I sort of specialize in criminal procedure matters, and I've suddenly found myself confronted by a whole bunch of questions related to police officers interacting with undocumented or documented aliens.
These are civil violations. We're not really talking about crimes here, so that's the important point. Carissa Hesek, associate professor of law at Arizona State University, talking about HB 1070 and the injunction against parts of that Arizona law. Thanks so much.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.